The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that when it comes to collectibles, if young people don't want to buy it, then nobody wants to buy it? Find out why right now on In the Money. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
And here we are each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every day. And as of now, you have a friend in the business. Did you know that when it comes to collectibles, if young people don't want to buy it, then nobody wants to buy it? Today on our Insider Report, you'll get the inside story on the cultural shift that's changed the collectibles market forever. Also, we'll be talking to Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques, San Antonio's oldest antique store, and we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of all things collectible. Before we begin, I'd like to clear something up for once and for all. The word collectible, I-B-L-E, collectible is a noun. I remember when I was a kid, a noun's the name of anything, house or garden, hoop or swing. A noun's a thing. I-B-L-E is a noun. Is it something that is a collectible? But if something is merely collectible, and you're just trying to say that something is able to be collected, well, collectible is an adjective, A-B-L-E. We've been taking heat because on our In the Money website at inthemoneyradio.com, our In the Money Facts of Life number 11 says, if it says collectible, it's not. And, of course, what we're referring to is anything that says collectible on the box means that it was mass-produced. It's stored in massive numbers on top shelves of closets all over America, and it guarantees that if anybody ever wants one of those, there's a ready supply at a very low price. That's a collectible, I-B-L-E, that is not collectible, A-B-L-E. Spelled with an A. So on our website, it's not misspelled. Thank you very much for all your help, but you're wrong. And our website is right. The other thing I wanted to mention is that last week, our guest here on In the Money was Oscar Villarreal from the jewelry store at Concord Plaza. We spent an entire hour explaining the world of retail, wholesale, and estate jewelry. We really do want you to know Oscar was a great guest. He joined us in announcing to the world that jewelry is not an investment. Jewelry is an expenditure. Our theme last week, jewelry is an investment, a very bad investment. And Oscar was honest enough to agree with that, as most jewelers would not do. We mentioned how we buy and sell new and estate, even scrap jewelry, all week long at our gallery, the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak. And the response was enormous, but it created a situation. We sold a ton. Well, maybe not a ton. Okay, we sold a half a ton of unmounted diamonds of all cuts and sizes, and a gallery was packed on Saturday night. A gentleman bought a 2.2-carat round for an engagement ring. A Macallan diamond dealer bought four 1-carat-plus diamonds that, frankly, we would have sold to you at the same price he paid for them. We sold two more 1-carat-plus diamonds at auction, and we nearly sold out of all of our smaller diamonds, mostly for people who are making earrings. And now our problem is we need your diamonds. We buy them from you outright, or we take them on consignment and sell them for you if you have more time and if you want some more money. But the fact is we need all of your jewelry. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, your jewelry isn't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange, we're always looking for better merchandise that we can put into the auction. And if it's not better merchandise, at least if it has a precious metal value, we can make you an offer on it that's competitive with anybody's offer in town. Each Saturday evening, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your merchandise. We do a live internet simulcast with an audio feed, goes all over the world, and everybody's bidding in real time. We specialize in all kinds of jewelry, new, estate, vintage, antique. We do coins and collectibles, currency of all types, collectibles spelled C-O-L-L-E-C-T-I-B-L-E-S because they're nouns. And you can sell your merchandise to us on the spot, or we'll auction it for you. It takes about 3 weeks to take your merchandise, clean it, photograph it, describe it, upload it to the internet, show it to up to 25,000 people, sell it, collect the money, clear the payment, and have a check for you. About a 3-week turnaround time. But if you don't have 3 weeks, we need your diamonds. We need your jewelry right now. And frankly, you're going to get more when you come to the jewelry exchange. And right now, we really, really, really need your diamonds. We're going to be very aggressive about it. You might not know that we're licensed by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. We're certified by the Texas Department of Public Safety, members of the Better Business Bureau, and the American Numismatic Association. You have nothing to lose to come and show us your merchandise. But we have something to lose if we try to lie to you or misdirect you. We're not going to do that. We don't want our licenses yanked. Nothing's more useless than an auction gallery with no auctioneer license. So we have something to lose. Come and show to us, and at least let us be one of the people that you're showing your merchandise to. Come to our gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway in San Antonio. Visit us at the jewelryexchangeandauction.com, jewelryexchangeandauction.com. What's in your closet? Bring us your unwanted valuables. And yes, we do buy scrap gold and silver too, but we buy it all, and certainly we pay more and more for better and better merchandise. So come to our live auction. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. There's great bargains, and we're here every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock on In the Money right here on KLUP. Boy, that sounded just like a commercial, didn't it?
Well, maybe it was.
Maybe it was. Hey, let's go to our weekly trivia quiz, the In the Money trivia quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. First, before we do this week's quiz, let's review last week's quiz. Adam?
All right. Last week's trivia quiz was a little different, a little hard, but we had a winner. The question was, what is the name of the inclusion in gemstones that causes the star effect called asterism? Some of the people here in the studio were saying, I had no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't know the answer either, I admit.
But there were people out there that knew. I knew that. I have more faith in you than David does. But the answer we were looking for was silk, and I would also accept rutile. We did have a winner. The first person to answer the question correctly was Rob Donahue, and he will be winning. He has won a genuine star sapphire. You can come to the gallery, a jewelry exchange and auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway in San Antonio in the next 30 days to claim your prize.
Good. Let's go on to this week's quiz then. And here it is. Until fairly recently, Americans hated paper money. Before the Civil War, paper money was practically unheard of in the United States. They wanted gold, they wanted silver, they'd even accept copper, just not paper. Almost anything but paper. With a few exceptions, the only way Americans would accept paper was if they knew they could take that piece of paper to any bank and cash it in for precious metal. So they accepted paper currency in the form of gold certificates and silver certificates. And yes, there were other types of certificates, but certainly the popular certificates were the gold certificates and silver certificates, where they could walk into any bank and redeem them for gold and silver coins. I mean, in fact, they were right. Today, an average circulated 1922 $10 gold certificate worth between $100 to $200, but that $10 gold piece you would have redeemed that silver gold certificate for now will melt for $800 today and could be worth quite a bit more than that. So they were right not to accept paper, and I think that in today's economy, maybe we understand finally, always choose metal over paper. It wasn't until the mid-1900s that the federal government finally convinced people to just plain accept the paper, to accept empty promises that the paper currency offers, and to do away with the currency that was backed by precious metal. And at that time, never again would we be able to redeem our currency for anything other than a promise from the federal government. So here's today's In the Money trivia question. It's a three-parter, so pay attention. You got to get all three parts right. Part number one, what is the year that's printed on the United States' last metal-backed bill? Part two, what was the denomination of the bill? For example, was it a $1, $2, $5, $10 bill or more? And part three, for what metal was the bill redeemable? So what was the year, what was the denomination, and what metal could you redeem that bill for? to be a winner this week, all you have to do is to be one of the first 8 people to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. You can also submit your answer directly from our homepage. Go to inthemoneyradio.com, www.inthemoneyradio.com, and there'll be a window there that you can where you can type the answer and submit it. And then listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. If we do, you come claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway. Just come within the next 30 days after next week's broadcast. You can enter as often as you'd like, but please, only one winner per household per month. We know that already we have regulars, and they're listening, and they know the answer, and they want to submit it, but nope, got to wait till next month, please. Remember, that email address is quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. Good luck. Now, let's go to this week's Insider Report. And, Adam, take it away.
Well, this week we're talking about the cultural shift. And I'm going to first just start with a reference to our fact of life, In the Money Fact of Life number 2. If young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. And I'm just going to read a little blurb from the website because it's just it's informative and, frankly, it's funny. That young people drive the economy. Older people spend less and eventually sell their stuff. Today, young people are buying electronics and not China cabinets. Young people look at a Hummel and can't find the USB port. Young people have their own interests and they don't need yours. Brass Edwardian door knockers? Oh, please. And I'm going to start by talking about some of the things that people come in with, and they insist that they think that young people want these things. And I'm 30 years old. I'll still represent some of the young people. That China, we have China sets. We get lots of Noritake and Mikasa. And frankly, I've never gotten more at auction. I've never gotten more than a few hundred dollars for a China set. And I know that these people are thinking maybe even more than $1,000.
I'm telling you that within the last several hours, we took in a China set. It's a Noritake, plain white China set. For a long, long time, that was considered $100-$300 and something prestigious. But the last several sets we've sold of Noritake or Mikasa or Lennox, which are all good names, the last several sets that we've sold, nothing's gone for over $50. And most of the time they're purchased by somebody who says, oh, I'm going to give that to my daughter-in-law. And we just have to keep ourselves from screaming, your daughter-in-law doesn't want that.
And these are undamaged sets
with
often more than 50 pieces. And you think about it, it's going for less than a dollar a piece.
You know, someone was in a couple weeks ago looking at a set. And I guess maybe we talk too much. I mean, what are we doing here on the radio telling you how this business works from the inside? Because I'm not sure it's going to always make us money, and it's certainly not going to make us friends among the other dealers. But you think about it. China, you can't put it in the microwave. So that's out.
You can't put it in the dishwasher.
You can't put it in the dishwasher. This lady the other couple weeks ago said, so we'd have to wash it by hand. And, well, that was enough to knock it out. And, you know, I can imagine somebody saying, well, but what would young people use to serve on when they entertain formally? Well, if you knew any young people, you know it's very unlikely they're going to do anything formally.
Right.
That's pretty unlikely.
It's paper cups and plastic cups and paper
plates.
Red
Solo cups.
Also, these collector plates. Very often, I know they retail probably originally for about $40 a piece. People bring us a lot of them, and sometimes in the original box, you're supposed to hang them on the wall and enjoy them. The most I ever get for these collector plates is approximately $1 a piece. Sometimes jokingly, when people come in with those, I ask, "Do you skeet shoot?" Because you'll get more use out of them if you're a skeet shooter than trying to sell them.
But those are things from the prior generation. The advertisers know what they're doing when they're chasing the youth dollar. The youth spending is exactly what drives the economy. I mean, I'm going to be 60 next month, and I've already got what I want. I'm not concerned about decorating. The fact is, we're looking. I mean, we hear this word all day long. Downsizing. We're downsizing. And people are finally emptying out their closets, and they're bringing us their merchandise, and they're bringing it to people like like Janet at Charlotte's Antiques too, and they're frankly half the time they're coming in and they're saying they just want to get rid of it. They say that they've offered it to their kids and their kids don't want it, and they just don't know what else to do with it. So the older people aren't buying; they're downsizing. I know it's a bold statement to say if young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. And with any of our in the money facts of life, there's going to be there will be exceptions. But as general rule, those are pretty good rules. That's really true. Young people today are even less traditional than ever.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to refer to also the in the money fact of life number 7. The best is always in demand.
Right.
That's the exception to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
today.
We sold China sets for quite a bit of money, but they tend to be mid 1800s, well made. Collectible names like Havilland or Rosenthal, but the Japanese sets from the mid 50s and 60s and 70s, there's just really no market for that. I know that, you know, Adam knows the current collectibles market, but frankly, Adam's 30 years old. I just told you I'm about to turn 60. And, you know, and he certainly knows what his generation wants and doesn't want. We'll be talking about that a lot more today. But you know, I remember beyond 20 years ago, beyond 30 years ago, before, what, personal computers and video games and cell phones, before apps, before you could get 1,000 channels on your TV, before streaming video, before downloadable music on demand, before almost every interaction involves some kind of an electronic device, before so much of your time and your money demanded attention to these devices and to these images on a screen. I remember a time when people, you know, maybe there was nothing on the TV and they enjoyed sitting in their living room talking and looking around, and there were beautiful visual things to catch their eyes. They enjoyed working late into the night, sorting stamps and enjoying them and identifying what country the coins came from. They had dinner parties with their friends and discussed things. And now when people come into our gallery, sometimes we try to have a conversation with somebody, and maybe a majority of the time people are looking at their little screens and they're busy with beep, 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 and they're doing different things. And sometimes we just stop talking because it seems like nobody's really listening. They're just everybody's in their own little world.
But I want to talk about some other things that people often bring us that young people don't want, and I'm saying this, I'm talking about this because most people don't realize this, that flatware, that it wasn't until I started working at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction that I even heard that anybody got flatware when they got married. This was totally foreign to me. That people bring it in now, and I tell them that the silver plated sets will go for somewhere between $10 to $150 a piece in the box, depending on condition. And the sterling sets get melted. That often people tell me they're just going to give it to their grandchildren when they get married, and their grandchildren don't want that. Another class is crystal. We get a lot of Waterford crystal. Waterford went out of business, and there are still some collectible crystal companies that still can bring a premium. That's one of the exceptions. But for the most part, crystal is right out, along with any other decorative items. Young people don't want cake plates and ship's decanters. Again, when they entertain, they use disposable things, and like figurines, decorative items, Hummels, $10 to $60 a piece at auction. Like I said before, young people look at the Hummels and can't find the USB port.
All my professional life, people have brought in Franklin Mint and, Adam mentioned, Bradford Exchange merchandise. Even 30 years ago, the Franklin Mint merchandise, it either has a precious metal content and would be worth its precious metal content, or it didn't have a precious metal content and had no particular value, just worth what somebody will pay for it. In the money facts of life number 4, it's only worth what someone will pay for it. And so all my professional life, the Franklin Mint, merchandise has really been worth what the smelter is willing to pay for it. You think about it. I mean, we could partner with any of you people out there listening and start our own company and make collectible models of cars or little ingots with presidents' faces on them. Why would anybody buy that? And something about the Franklin Mint, and not to single them out, it's with any of these mints, any of these private collectible manufacturers. Believe me, if they thought they could sell 10,000, they would make 10,000. If they thought they could sell 20,000, they'd make 20,000. So where is the rarity? Where is the demand for that? In our gallery, we have the blue boxes of death from the World Monetary Mint. These are replicas of coins. We bought an estate from a gentleman who some coin telemarketers took advantage of in his 90s. And he spent about $600,000 over 3 or 4 years. Just about everybody in town bid on this collection. We were the high bidders at $162,000. As it turns out, second highest bid was $112,000. We were high bidders at $162,000, and included in this collection was a replica of a $20 gold piece. And the people who sold this gold piece acknowledged that it wasn't a real one. Therefore, it wasn't worth the $1,500-$1,600 that it would have been worth. They only charged him $600 for it. But what we did is we took a hammer and broke it out of the case and threw it in a bucket because it had no precious metal content. It was just a replica of a coin that you and I and all of your friends and my friends could get together, and we could make these things. Why in the world would anybody want that? In the postal arena, there's the Postal Commemorative Society that takes very common merchandise, puts it in very beautiful albums, sells it to people at very high prices. A gentleman was in two Saturdays ago. He said, "Do you have a cart?" And generally, we like that. Do you have a cart? That means you're going to bring us in a bunch of stuff. And he brought in just piles and piles of these albums that he had paid a lady $700 for, almost all of it Postal Commemorative Society. And I told him that I thought that maybe for the entire shebang, he could net between $200 and $250. And, of course, he was horrified, and he just kept showing me, but what about this one? What about that one? Say, all my life I've seen these stamps. There's nothing about them. And, in fact, most of them were canceled or just nothing special about them, just arranged nicely in a folder. I mean, if you scrapbook, you could probably do a better job than they could, but that doesn't mean that anybody really wants to own that. You have to look at a piece of merchandise and consider, why would anybody want that? And if the purpose is strictly to entertain, or it's visually appealing, or something that just seems like, gee, maybe that's valuable, well, young people care less and less of that because they've got all the entertainment they want at the tips of their fingers, and they have all That's the right. exciting images they want at the tips of their fingers, and they're not looking for some exotic thing from a faraway land to hang a hat on. They'll just go online. They don't need you. And we refer again to, in the Money Facts of Life number one, nobody wants your smelly old junk. Just because it's old just doesn't make it valuable. There has to be a reason why somebody wants it.
And one last thing that I'd like to talk about is fur coats, fur hats, things like that. Young ladies really don't want that. We've got we sometimes get those at the auction, and when I need somebody to put it on so we can take a photograph of it to represent all the people online, young ladies are afraid to touch it. They think that it's cruel to the animals. They think it's just disgusting. They don't want to put it on. Recently, it was a Russian sable fur coat, and it was in very nice condition. We brought it to a prestigious furrier in town, and we showed it to them. They said, "Wow, very nice condition, very contemporary style. People really love the fur." And they gave me a written appraisal for $20,000. We sold it at auction for $500. Could not get a $550 bid. I think that's also a testament to that the younger people don't want fur.
And bear in mind, the people who did the appraisal would not make us an offer, which tells you something too. You know, we talk a lot about what's not hot, but let me tell you some things that are hot. And of course, the best is always in demand. Rare coins and currencies couldn't be hotter. Art Deco and designer jewelry, high-end wristwatches, We can't get enough of those firearms of every kind. And for what it's worth, Nazi memorabilia, Civil War memorabilia, very, very hot. You know, on the Antique Roadshow, they always show you the 1 in 100 things that are really exciting and valuable. They don't show you the 99 out of 100 booby prizes they have to wade through to get to the good things. And also, they're always saying, you know, 10 years ago at auction, that would have brought, and the market is suppressed. It's not the market. It's not the economy, stupid. And I refer to George Bush Sr.'s, it's the economy, stupid, not this time. It's not the economy. It's the cultural shift. Things are different. And storage wars, the way they tally up the values of the collectibles they find, that's just plain dumb. If anyone out there from Storage Wars is listening, come on by. I want to talk to you. And we'll put you on the show, and you can tell us why that's right. So really, our advice to everybody out there, look around your house, adjust your sights lower, come see us, talk to us about what you have. It's free. There's no fees. There's no obligation. And keep in mind, Facts of Life number 10, the definition of rare is you probably don't have it. That music's our heartbreak. We're going to be right back with Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques to talk about the 50 years of collectibles in the South Texas antique business and the changing collectible market. Don't go away. You're in the money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our guest today, Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques on Austin Highway in San Antonio. Welcome, Janet. Thank you for joining us on In the Money.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Hey, Janet, is it accurate to say that you literally grew up in the collectibles business?
I would say that was very accurate.
So when you were born, did your parents already have a store in San Antonio?
Actually, no. The store was founded in 1966, but they were already dabbling in the antique market when they were in Europe. So that's where it all began.
Yeah, well, how did that begin? They were in Europe, and they just enjoyed this type of merchandise, and they came. They moved to San Antonio.
Well, actually, Jack was in the Air Force in England. And as a hobby, my mother, Charlotte, would go to auctions and buy different pieces that she thought were interesting or unusual and bring them back to the house. My father would clean them up if it was furniture, oil them down, make them look pretty. If it was glassware, she would wash it and make it look nice. And then the wives that were on the military base would come by the house and she would sell it to them. So that was the beginning
One thing led to another. We have so many customers like that ourselves. A lot of people start, and eventually we don't see them anymore, but some of them grow, and suddenly you're Charlotte's Antiques, the oldest. I keep referring to her as the oldest antique dealer in San Antonio.
Well, that could be accurate.
I've noticed on your website she actually brags about her age, so I don't think she minds us mentioning it.
Right? No,
how old's your mother?
She's 82, and goes to work every day, and if I'm 82 and I go to work every day, I think I'll brag too.
Right. You know, we tried and tried to get her on the show. We wanted Charlotte on the show, but she keeps saying she's too shy, and everybody who knows her, that has to be a surprise to people.
She's not shy.
I just think she might get a little nervous, but she'll talk to you as much as you want to when you come to the store.
Well, you know, the theme of our show today is the cultural shift, the shift that I've noticed in my lifetime. And look, Janet, you and I have been working on projects together for a while now. We've discussed this privately, but I wanted to discuss it on the air. I know that you've seen a change in the collectibles market over time, too. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, can you tell us, when Adam and I did our insider's report today, Janet was sitting in the green room, so she really doesn't know what we were saying. And so we wanted to bring her in and pick her brains about what her perceptions are about how things have changed since she was a girl.
Well, I think there's several things that have factored into it. First of all, with the internet, it's just opened up the world. When you used to be limited somewhat to where you lived or where you traveled to buy your collectible or even your antique, you had to go and find it, and if you found it and it was a little bit more than you wanted to spend, you bought it anyway because you couldn't find it and you didn't know if you go somewhere else and they'd have one. Now with the internet, you can go on eBay and pretty much find anything you want that's fairly common. I mean, the unusual things will be there too, but they're not going to be as easy. And so I think that, number one, has done it, changed the market. And I just think that the younger generation just does not want the stuff like they used to. Used to see people that would collect cookie jars, and they might have 100 of them. I don't think anybody wants the 100 cookie jars anymore. Number one, you've got dual-income families. They don't have a lot of time. They don't have a lot of time to dust and clean and take care of it or even go out and find it.
I think that's a key word, too, dust. I mean, we have people say all the time, they're dust collectors.
Right, right. And I just don't think the younger generation wants that. They're too busy with all the gadgets that are out in the world. We've got the introduction of the computer in general has changed so much even in the last 10 years. But now you've got your iPad that you can carry with you, you've got your iPhone, you've got any kind of technology you want. And then as you look even further down the road at the young kids, the last thing they want is, you know, a bunch of lunch boxes in their room or whatever it is they might collect. It is just not there anymore.
Yeah, this is the same theme that we've been talking about. And, of course, it's my perception, too. And Adam, who's 30 years old, is in the middle of that, and in a few minutes we're going to have a guest on the phone who's in her early 20s, and she's about to get married, mm-hmm. and we're going to pick her brain and see exactly what she's anticipating and wanting and how she envisions her house to be. And I think it would be very different than the house I grew up in and the house, probably the house you grew up in, too.
Right, right.
I know your father was the clock guy for San Antonio,
yes,
right?
He was. He was.
And I know in the shop there's still so many clocks there. Mm-hmm.
Some amazing clocks there.
Yeah, beautiful pieces.
Right.
And I think you mentioned to me that the house is full of clocks.
The house is full of clocks. And I think that now people would like to have maybe one nice antique clock that's kind of a focal point or an heirloom that's been passed down. I don't think they're going to want the hundreds of clocks that you might find in a serious clock collector's home.
Yeah, the clock collection. They might want a piece, but but not to collect it. People seem to me to be collecting other kinds of things today, and most so often that's electronics, different kind of electronic devices. We were talking about some of the things that are hot at the Jewelry Exchange. We know that coins and currency are hot, and that designer jewelry is hot, and firearms more and more important all the time. What's hot at Charlotte's Antiques these days?
Well, I think there's a lot of different groups. In the antique world, I think that in Texas, since we're proud of our state, anything that's from Texas we like. We like Texas artists. We like Texas potters. We really like the Texas collectibles, and that will continue to be hot. If you can find an old, signed blue bonnet picture by Robert Wood, it's going to go out the door pretty quick, and it's going to go for a pretty good price. And then I think you'll also, things that people can use, you mentioned jewelry, but like vintage jewelry, vintage clothes, vintage purses, I think that is kind of coming back in, and people are buying that because it's an unusual piece. Nobody else is going to have it, but they can also use it. So those are the things people are wanting. And the things, you know, the kind of the important pieces that you would buy for your home that you purposely go out to find one piece to place in your home. And they're always looking for the good things.
Yeah, you mentioned certain fine art. You know, one of our rules is that the best is always in demand.
Right.
But in general, we find that the fine art market is just really, really weak. We just, about a year ago, we bought a number of paintings from, an artist famous enough to have his own book, Jose Osejo, and I could see records of his signed, numbered, limited edition prints selling 10 years ago in Dallas for $2,500 to $3,200.
Right.
And we bought a bunch of them at auction because they were just so cheap. And now a year later, we just sold off the last of them for, I think, about $240 each.
Oh, we must have taken a loss on those.
About a tenth of what they had gone for 10 years ago. And I'm looking at the nice frames with the no-glare mm-hmm. glass, and I'm thinking, I think the frame is worth more than $240.
Right. But if you could find the... I think anything that's starts getting mass-produced, the value is just going to go... It's just going down.
There you go.
Now, if it's a one-of-a-kind, if it's the original art, I don't think you'll have trouble selling
it. We refer to that picture, The Scream, that just sold for $120 million, but that's the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is just not really in demand. At your antique shop these days, are there certain things that are just not hot? I mean, things that just aren't moving?
There's a lot that's not moving. Right now, I think people... somewhat with the economy are a little nervous to spend money, so they're buying the things they really want and they need, but they're not going to come in and buy a lot of glass or just odd china or things that they might have bought before because it was a pretty bowl and they might be able to use it for serving or for display. They're not going to buy that
anymore.
They're just
not spending money on that. You know, we talk about some of the odd things that we've come across. We have a human foot on our wall. We sold Milton Berle's Mercedes, and some of the oddest things I've ever handled are things, frankly, that I can't tell you about on the air. But can you tell me some of the oddest things that that have ever walked through your doors? And I don't mean the customers, or maybe the customers, but I bet you some funny things have happened over the years.
Well, I think some of the funny stories, maybe not of what's walked in, are things that maybe we would have done 40 years ago, or at least my parents would have done. I remember my father coming home with school desks, the old-fashioned school desks.
Right, sure.
But he had probably 200 of them.
Because you don't find just one of those,
right,
do you?
But, and
you
this,
find
but
a whole
this,
school full of them.
This is probably, in the early 70s, and all of those desks outside of the store, you know, just praying that somebody would buy them. And they did sell, but, you know, it takes a while.
Yeah, 200 is...
Right.
One is worth more than one of 200.
Right, right.
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 Janet, what do you collect?
I like Mexican jewelry and vintage jewelry.
Certain hallmarks on the jewelry?
Yes. I like, of course, I'd love to have a lot of Spratling or Margot, a lot of the Tasco pieces, the old Tasco pieces. But I collect things that I can use. I love my sterling. I like to have odd pieces of sterling bowls, things to use and display and to use when I entertain, which I think is another thing that in this market you have to remember is that people don't entertain like they used
to. That's right.
I go to a friend's house and they won't even have good china anymore because they don't want to have to wash it because it's got the gold trim.
We were just talking about
punch bowls.
The red solo cup and the pink box that the cake comes in, and everybody digs in with plastic forks.
Right. It's kind of a lost art.
Chinette. Well, I'm going to ask you something that I've been wondering about for over 2 years. What happened to the E? There has to be a story there. Do you know what I mean?
The E, yes.
Tell me the story. Do you know what I mean, Adam?
Well, I want to remind everybody we're talking to Janet from Charlotte's Antiques, and I think we're talking about the E at the end of Charlotte, Charlotte's Antiques.
Right. When the original store was built, my father decided to paint a sign, and... of course, the sign was a limited, you know, probably a 4x6. I don't know.
It wasn't enough room.
I don't know the dimensions. So he got to a point, and he turned to my mother, and he says, "You can either have the E or the S, but both won't fit." So she went with the S.
And that was how many years ago?
That would have been in 1966.
Oh, that's wonderful. I was guessing something much more complicated than that, but the answer is there just wasn't enough room. I love that. How can our listeners contact you if they have any questions or if they're looking for something special?
Well, we have a webpage, Charlotte's Antiques, Charlotte's without an E, charlottesantiques.com. I can come by the store. We're on Austin Highway, a little bit north of Sunset Funeral Home. You can give us a call. The number is 653-3672, or you can email me, info@charlottesantiques.com, any of those ways.
Well, great. I always end an interview with the same question. What question should we have asked you that we didn't?
Well, I'll tell you the question that is probably the most common, that I probably have it at least once a day, maybe three or four times a day, is the market going to come back? Are the collectibles going to come back? And I honestly have to say I don't believe so. I think some people think that they will, or some people are praying that they will because they're stuck with 100 Hummels and don't know what to do with them. But I don't think it'll ever be like it was before.
You know, we agree. We call it a cultural shift rather than a market weakness, and that's the bad news. But the good news is if you like Hummels, if you like Yadra, wow, you can get some deals now.
Right.
That merchandise is
out
there.
Now's the time to buy.
So it's not all bad news.
Right.
It's great news for the people who still want that kind of merchandise. We're going to take a short commercial break now. Then we're going to open up the phone lines. We have some email questions, too, that have been submitted. And today we're talking to Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques. And I'm David Bluestein. We're here with Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Don't go away, please. We're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money. Every Saturday evening, thousands of people just like you join our live auctions in Stone Oak. New and estate jewelry at up to 80% off retail, including brand names like Tiffany, Rolex, and James Avery, rare coins and currency far below coin shop prices, and name your own price for all sorts of collectibles and small antiques, with different merchandise every week. Bid live in the gallery or through our internet simulcast and never pay retail again. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio, Texas license number 16604, member Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. That's jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP.
Great. We're back now with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Our special guest today, Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques. We're going to open up the phone line in just a moment. But for now, we got an email that was waiting for me this morning. And here it is. Hi, I have a diamond pendant necklace that I want to sell. And I wanted to know if you guys bought jewelry. Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, you could cross out diamond pendant necklace and the word jewelry, and I think, well, I know that we, and I'm sure that you too, Janet, you hear this every day. Do you guys buy things? I have some things I want to sell. Do you guys buy things? And I always think, well, I got to buy something if I'm going to sell it. You can't sell if you don't buy, and you can't, buy anything if you're not selling merchandise. And so, you know, people are always saying, well, what should I do? We get phone calls where people want to talk about it. We get emails with pictures, usually blurry little pictures, that just aren't sufficient. And so what we tell people is, well, come on by, bring it by. What we do is we buy jewelry, all kinds of jewelry, and anything with a precious metal content, and we accept merchandise on consignment to sell in our auctions. Sometimes that's jewelry or coins or currency, but when it comes to China and crystal and porcelain and other forms of collectibles that aren't precious metal and don't have precious metal content, we merely accept those on consignment and sell those for people. But you folks are buying, right?
Right. We buy every day.
And so I guess you would say the same thing. Just bring it in. Let's take a look.
Bring it in. Right. It's better to bring it in so we can see it. Condition is everything.
Oh, of course.
But people expect us to be able to answer that question on the phone. What would you pay? And what is it? And we do that when we can. But
inevitably, there's something that they didn't mention that they didn't know when they described it on the phone.
Right. And you see it. And most often, it's not exactly what we were told it was either. But you folks are open to that. Bring it in, and let's take a look, and we'll talk about it. We always say we're big boys and girls. We can talk about anything, and you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You might not like what we tell you, but it'll be true. It'll be accurate, and then we take it from there.
When we first opened, somebody called and said, do you buy Yadro? And we said, sure. And then we hung up and said, what's Yadro?
When we first got here from California, people said, do you deal in James Avery? And we said, sure. What's James Avery? But the fact is, when you take something, we could take a mystery box and show it to 24,000 people, and we don't even have to know what it is. They'll know what it is, and they'll bid on it if they want it. We're going to go to the phones now on line one. We have Megan on line one. Megan, are you there?
I I'm here.
Hi. Thanks for calling. I'm going to admit right off the bat here that Megan, in a way, is a ringer because Megan works for Adam and me at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Megan is our resident expert on everything that isn't jewelry and isn't coins and currency. So all the porcelain and the china and all the crystal and all the dolls and everything else you see, all of that went through Megan's hands. Megan's the one who looks at it and decides how to describe it, and anybody who needs any kind of guidance or advice, what they should look at, that's all Megan. So she's our lady for all that. And we asked Megan to come in to talk to us. Megan, we haven't discussed anything about this interview, have we?
No, we have not.
Well, good. So you're in the dark, and I want it that way because I didn't want you preparing any answers. You and the fact is, you might not even know what we've been talking about here today, but we are talking about the differences in the collectible market from when I started out. We're here with Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques. And she's talking about how things have changed. And can I ask you, Megan, how old are you?
I'm 25.
And you're planning to get married soon, aren't you?
Next October.
This coming October? You mean
no, next October.
Oh, a year from this coming October.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I was afraid you're going to get married and run away, and we don't want that. Are you registered anywhere?
No.
Are you no? Well, listen to that tone. Are you going to be registered anywhere?
I haven't actually decided yet.
I mean, I'm guessing that you consider and maybe plan and think about what your life might be like once you're married, and you know, maybe even what you're hoping to get when you get married, what kind of gifts you're hoping for.
If I was to register anywhere, it would probably be a store like Williams-Sonoma, an appliance type of store.
And so you're thinking of equipping your kitchen?
Yes.
And maybe some furnishing, something for around the house?
Exactly.
Are you or would you be asking people specifically not to give you some kind of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't probably want any sort of collectibles.
Is there anything that you collect at all?
I do collect decorative wine glasses, but they do serve a function.
So you don't, they're not just on the shelf. You'll use those too.
Right.
Okay, and so when you picture your ideal kitchen or your dining room or your living room once the household is set up, can you describe it to me?
Well, not a lot of things to dust, for sure. A lot of things with actual uses.
I see. So you're looking for practical merchandise,
yeah,
really.
That seems to be a running theme.
Yes.
And how involved do you think your husband will be in selecting merchandise and furniture and decorations? Are you laughing?
He won't be involved. Probably.
So this is your. and so where do his interests lie? What does he collect?
He likes guns and hunting.
Okay, and that's all congruent with what we're talking about
today. It's
practical,
too.
And I wanted to ask you, too, what kind of electronics do you and your fiancé own?
Oh, we have smartphones, flat screen TVs, iPods, iPad, you know.
And do your parents have family heirlooms that you expect they're going to hand down to you?
I hope not.
Well, you know, I tell this story, and I think it might embarrass Adam, and he insists he was kidding. But I have my great-grandfather's pocket watch, and it's 14-karat gold. And it comes from my grandfather, who gave it to my great-grandfather. My grandfather gave it to my great grandfather on my great grandfather's 25th wedding anniversary,
okay.
And so I like that watch. That means something to me. I'm a bit sentimental, and I said to Adam, you know, I'm going to give that watch to you soon. And he says, how much does it weigh? And I said, well, I'm not going to give it to you. And he said, oh, I was just kidding. I'm thinking, but that sure slipped off your tongue really, really easily. That was right on your right on the tip of your tongue. Hey, of all the merchandise that comes through our doors at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, what's the most interesting to you?
The jewelry, of course.
Yeah, it's the jewelry. Well, you know, you're a case in point, and I just want to remind everybody, we didn't rehearse this. I mean, this is really where the market is. People who are retiring, downsizing, getting rid of their merchandise, they're discovering it with their own children. And people who haven't discovered that yet really need to reassess the way they look at things. Megan, I'm going to say goodbye. We're going to try to squeeze in one more question here. And I guess we won't see you tomorrow, but we're going to see you the next day, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on, Megan. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. And I know we have somebody, and I'm looking for their name. Is it David?
Yeah, David.
How are you? Thanks for calling in. David, we're a little short on time. I've only got two minutes to talk to you.
Oh, I'll ask a question real quick.
Okay,
by the way,
let's talk about your show. And you know,
we're here with
Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques.
Yes. Well, I have a coin question for y'all.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, I have a coin that says 1 cent on it, and it's dated 1838. And it's a lot bigger than a regular penny, but it's still a U.S. coin. I notice it says United States of America on it. And it's worn, but I can still see a lot of detail. Is this...
Let me tell you exactly what you're looking at. We mentioned earlier that the U.S. Has never liked paper money. They want metal. It's gold, silver, or even copper. And what you're looking at is a United States large cent.
Right.
That was the size of the coin, of the cents back then.
It's about the size of a quarter.
Yeah, as the price of copper went up, the coins got smaller and smaller until finally now they're talking about getting rid of the pennies altogether. Yeah, there has to be some relationship to the size of the coin and the value of the metal.
The metal, right.
And so that's all you're looking at. You know, the Russian coppers of 100, 200 years before that were the size of silver dollars. But as the price of the metal goes up, the coin gets smaller until finally you end up with plastic or paper.
Well, how much paper or plastic?
Your choice.
Well, how much are those things worth?
In a worn-out condition, barely readable, as little as $5.
I don't know if you can read it.
Well, okay, start to get up to 15 to 20, and then it could be worth tens of thousands even.
David,
we are out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off.
All right, thanks a lot.
And I wish we could have gotten to some more callers, but just no time. We'll be back next week at 7 o'clock. My deep thanks to Janet Lynn from Charlotte's Antiques.
Thank you.
Please go see Janet and go talk to Charlotte on Austin Highway if you'd like to present any collectibles or if you're looking for anything special. Next week, Everything You Know About Coins is Wrong. We'll have Harry Lindgren from Harry's Coins here to help us explain everything to you. If you have questions about coins or currency, call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 592-8786, 592-8786, or email questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We're going to answer every single question. If we like your question enough, we'll answer it right here on the air. We hope to see you all tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, and we hope you'll join us again next week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, what do I do with it? Have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you all tonight and again next Saturday morning.